Are you hearing some differences and similarities in this arrangement when compared to the first, the original? I think at this point, it's fair to say that this almost sounds like a completely different song. Tom Scott again, who you're hearing playing now. Tom Scott played with so many people. Carole King, he was the saxophonist you heard on the song Jazz Man. He's the saxophonist you heard on Steely Dan's Asia. You heard him on Paul McCartney's Listen to What the Man Said. How about Whitney Houston's Saving All My Love for You? Composed the film score Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, Uptown Saturday Night, The Sure Thing, and more. Performed with the Blues Brothers. Okay, back to some great resemblance to the original. Like I said, talk about making a song your own. Okay, I mentioned that the House GOP budget proposal would take us back. The agreement that is for 2019 would adhere to the increased non-defense discretionary, or NDD, non-defense discretionary, NDD funding level set by last fall's bipartisan budget agreement, but that agreement only covered 2018 and 2019. And unless Congress takes further action, funding for non-defense discretionary programs would revert in 2020 to the very low levels required by the 2011 Budget Control Act, as it was further reduced by sequestration. Who remembers the nightmare of sequestration? All of this, again, going back to the Republicans' refusal to approve the raising of the debt ceiling unless the Democrats agreed to a new budget that called for greatly reduced spending, or rather greatly reduced spending, yeah, and no increases in revenues. Despite the fact that economists and others kept saying, if you only increase taxes, or if you only significantly reduce spending, you're going to make the economy much, much worse. You have got to have the right mix. This is what the experts have said. This is what they were saying. When the Republicans kept saying, we will only agree to reduce spending, we will not talk about any increases in taxes or revenues. The experts said the only way to improve the economy is to make sure that you have the right mix of an increase in tax revenues and the proper decrease in spending. Both have to be in play. The Republicans refused, so the Democrats decided to introduce a poison pill. If they could not agree, if the Republicans and the Democrats could not agree to a budget proposal that called for the proper mix of increased taxes and reduced spending, then just across the board cuts. I think it was 30%. Across the board cuts, everything, including defense, including in defense spending. Rather than go with what the experts said needed to be done and come up with the proper mix of increased taxes or increased revenues and reduced spending, the Republicans said, okay, we'll go for the across the board cuts and everything, including the cuts to defense. And so that's what happened. Sequestration kicked in. Levels that Congress has repeatedly found too low to meet national needs, and as a result, has repeatedly raised. The House budget plan would set funding in 2020 and 2021 at the low post-sequestration levels, and then would freeze NDD funding at that very low 2021 level for the rest of the decade. Ultimately, this budget would reduce NDD spending to its lowest level as a percent of the economy since the Hoover administration. This budget, President Trump's 2019 budget, and congressional Republican budgets from prior years all share the same basic approach. If implemented, the center says, they would increase the number of Americans who struggle just to put food on the table. It would increase the number of Americans who struggle to keep a roof over their heads. It would increase the number of Americans who struggle to afford college. This budget proposal would widen income inequality, which means more and more people who are not members of the haves would find their wages effectively going down. The people with great wealth doing better and better and better, while everyone else doing worse and worse and worse. And here we go again. When people refuse to wear the American hat and do what's best for everyone, and instead put on party hats and decide, hey, you know what? This is going to hurt those kind of people. And since I know it's going to hurt those kinds of people, people of that race, people of that class, I'm going to vote for the politicians who push those kinds of proposals because I want those people to hurt. And here we go. Part of the reason that so many people were so distressed, so distraught, so angry during the 2016 campaign is because people were hurting financially. Refusing to look at which politicians were directly responsible for the Great Recession. Refusing to hold accountable the politicians who insisted on slowing down economic recovery as much as they possibly could, and instead chose to aim a lot of their hostility, their anger, their malice at the people who were hurting worse than they were. And otherwise, as far as their own politics, it's business as usual. The budget proposal would leave tens of millions more without health coverage. And remember, we have been told that lack of health care coverage is one of the reasons that many, many people find themselves filing for bankruptcy because health care coverage is so expensive, it can be so devastating. This has been explained to us more than once, and we still have millions upon millions from amongst we the people who prefer that situation than to have the Affordable Care Act, which was designed to turn that situation around. The budget retains the $1.9 trillion in tax cuts enacted in 2017, which overwhelmingly benefits households with the highest incomes. And contrary to standard budget practice, it permits extension of the tax law's expiring provisions without those costs being paid for. without the costs being paid for. Isn't it interesting how politicians are so selective about what they do pay for and don't pay for? So selective about when they want something paid for and when they could care less if it's paid for or not. And they fail to reflect those costs in the stated figures. Even if one discounts this budget on the assumption that few, if any, of its policies will be enacted this year, it still represents the type of plan that many congressional leaders and the president would implement if given the opportunity. Is this budget helping all of America, or is it hurting most of America, if implemented? And remember, what goes around comes around. We had many, many millions of people voting for the politicians who would ensure that this pain was felt, and they kept refusing to recognize that they too, not the politicians, but the folks voting for the politicians who push these kinds of policies, these voters too would be feeling the pain. They were feeling it in 2016. Will they be any better off and therefore feeling any better in 2018, 2020?